Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime. Hello.
Hi, hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you going?
Good. We're trialing a new platform today.
We are, after the nightmare we've had the last few weeks. Whoa. Thank you for sticking last with us, honestly.
Horrid. Last week was so bad.
It like is, yeah, it's been killing me.
It literally sounded like I was drunk. It was like all laggy. It was like, hello.
And we literally got a message on Monday morning from Danny. Thank you, Danny. Thank goodness who's in New Zealand, she listens early. It's like, I don't know what's going on with the episode this week, but things are like all over the place.
It was a mess.
Got it. So we're trialing something new.
Yeah, we're trialing something new. Hopefully that helps a little bit.
I mean, if there are any like podcasters out there that have tips for us, reach out, please, because it's just me and Lockie here.
Yeah.
Doing nothing.
You're just a two-man show. Don't have any people in the background helping you out or anything. It's all us. And honestly, like, everything we figure out, we just Google. I feel like I just Googled podcast platform. And just this is what came up. So we'll hope that this one works a bit better.
Across our fingers and toes. What else have you been this week? Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. It has been a week. I'll set the scene. So Monday was an RDO and I was in the office and Monkey was at home just pottering around like he always does. He managed to drill a screw into the palm of his hand.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was horrendous. And he went to the hospital and he had an operation on Tuesday night and got discharged on Wednesday. I have obviously been trying to work in between, pick Elsie up. I had to pick him up at like all this running around. And then he's been home this week, but he's obviously one-handed, so he can't pick Elsie up. He can't bath her. He can't do dishes. He can't put washing out. He literally can't do anything. So I just have done everything all week and I'm exhausted. No. And it's his birthday today as well. So like it's not even
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's been a week, I tell you.
Oh my goodness. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah. And we've got that thing tomorrow night, right?
So we do.
I'm so excited to get out, but I've got to go to work, come home, and then I'll have to bath Elsie, make sure she's ready for bed, and then get their dinner sorted because he can't do it. And then I have to leave.
Can you work from home tomorrow so at least go home or no?
I can, but I do kind of need to go in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's easier.
How annoying. Hey, but I do. You know, you've got some exciting news and we have not spoken about this, so feel me.
Yeah, my week was changed on Friday when I switched back to an iPhone and I'm loving it, Sick Creator. I love it. I'm just so happy to be back.
So what happened? Did you just buy a new one or did you switch it? Like what did you do?
So I was with Telstra and I had my Samsung, and for Mother's Day, Monkey said, we'll pay out your Samsung and then we'll sell the Samsung and then what the difference is, like he'll pay for Mother's Day, right? So I could get one like straight away, which is great. But I was royally screwed over by Telstra this week. So I said to them, I want to pay out my Samsung and I want to upgrade. And they're like, cool. Yeah. If you just, because I did it all like online, like on their chat. And they're like, cool, just click this link to like pay out your phone and then we'll process the upgrade. So I'm like, cool, no worries. So I paid out my Samsung, which was like $900. And then I'm like, went back. I'm like, cool, I've just paid it out. I want to get an iPhone 15, blah, blah, blah. And then they go, oh, sorry, you can't upgrade for 6 months.
What?
Yes. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I said, I would not have paid that out if I had known I had to wait 6 months, right?
Yeah.
And then I was, then they're like, you have to go into a store. So I went into a store. They told me exactly the same thing. And then I was like, all right, if you can't waive this 6 month wait, like, I'm switching. Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, you should have told me before I paid you $900.
Yes.
That I couldn't upgrade. And they just were like feeding me so much bullshit. Like, you're a loyal customer, blah, blah, blah. I was like, fuck it. And I went to Optus.
Good. I was just about to say, I hope you freaking switch and just, you know, stood your ground.
Because they were hard to deal with because they weren't really like helping me. They were just like spinning me all this bullshit. Like, you're a loyal customer and we appreciate your business. And like, they were just not doing anything to help me. And they just kept saying that there's nothing they could do. There was nothing they could do. And I'm like, you are like a multi-million dollar company. Of course, there's something you'd be able to do. Like,
but you've ridiculous. Paid out your phone. It's not like you were asking to, like, you literally paid out your phone.
Yeah, I know. So and annoying. So but anyway, I switched to Optus and it was literally like I went into the store and within half an hour, I came out with an iPhone. So
amazing.
It's fine. Yeah. All good.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. I'm so excited. You're back on the iPhone.
Yeah. I actually
now I know never to switch.
Never. For the listeners, I messaged Karina on Friday night and I just said, notice anything different? Because I knew she would notice the green messages the blue messages instead of green. And yeah, straight away.
And do you know what's so away. Funny? Because obviously you sent that to me, but I don't see that it's blue. So I was looking at it. I was like, notice anything? And on top, it's like iMessage. I'm like, oh my God, she's back.
Yeah, even my friend Cass, she messaged and she's like, yay for blue messages.
So, yeah.
It's just so much good. Easier to use. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I'm just loving it. Absolutely loving it.
Good. Well, I'm right. You know what, Lockie? At least you gave it a go.
Exactly. I'll know to never go back.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I went, you know what I did on Thursday night? I went to, like, have you seen that candlelight music thing that they've got? I think they've got them all over the world.
No.
And it's like they play like instruments and it's like sort of candle lit. I don't even know how to, I don't know how to explain it. I feel like it's called like candle concerts or something. But I did.
Like an orchestra.
There's probably like five or six people like playing instruments. And okay. I went to a Fleetwood Mac one on Collins and it was amazing. Like, I would do this again. It was so good. I highly recommend. Apparently they've got like a Taylor Swift one. So maybe we should look into, you know, doing that.
Yeah,
it was amazing. I was really impressed. So
yeah.
If anyone's seen them, I think they've got them all over as well. As I said, they're all over the world and there's all different locations. Like, it's not just in the city. So yeah.
Oh wow.
Did that. What else? So I did start watching Baby Reindeer as well. I'm only two episodes in.
You haven't finished it. Yeah.
No. And do you know what though? I did see she did an interview with what's it called? That Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan. I haven't seen it though, because I thought I'll wait till I finish it.
She's a full psychopath. Like I cannot believe she's gone on like the telly. And, like, it was completely anonymous. Like, no one would have known who the real Martha was. But she was going out tweeting all this stuff and everyone's like, oh, you're clearly the person. And then she's going on the TV. She's suing them because apparently, like, the actress, like, portrayed her as being overweight and, like,
always. Oh, my goodness.
Lost the plot. Yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait to finish it. I have not finished it. But, yeah, once I finish it and then I'll watch the interview. So hopefully next week we can discuss.
Yeah, I'm dying to see what you think.
But yes, that's sort of it with me. I feel like I did have other stuff, but I've literally forgotten now. So I'm sure I'll have to write notes for next week because I always forget
what I want to tell you.
But yes, maybe
what else we should want to share.
Oh, you got some more stuff? Tell me.
No, I don't think there's anything else. I feel like it all week I'm like, I've got to tell Karina.
Yeah, I feel like that as well, all the time.
Yeah, let's just get into it.
All right, let's do it, Lucky.
Hey,
Clara Harris, the former Lake Jackson dentist who killed her husband by running him over with a car, is officially off parole today. In 2002, Harris repeatedly ran over her husband of 10 years with her car in the parking lot of the Nassau Bay Hilton. The incident was all caught on camera by the private investigator Harris had hired to provide her husband's infidelity. To prove it, Harris was convicted of murder and then released on parole in 2018 after serving 15 years of her 20-year sentence. She officially finished her parole today.
So today we will be discussing the case of David and Clara Harris. So David Lynn Harris was born in February 1958 and grew up in Texas. Described as charming and brilliant, he had a deep love for music, playing multiple instruments, and as a boy, he was very active in his church, like playing instruments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After starting a pre-med course in college, he switched to dentistry, specializing in orthodontics, and that's not, I didn't even know, I mean, I knew that it was teeth related, but apparently that's like when they focus on like the straightness of your teeth, if you were wondering.
Yeah, like braces and stuff.
Yes, yeah. So graduating second in his class, he built a successful career. Patients loved him as he put them at ease. He must have just been one, you know, because going to the dentist is, I hate it. It's so freaking scary. So he obviously just had the touch with them, you know?
Yeah.
He married a lady named Deborah in the 80s and they had a daughter named Lindsay together, but their marriage only lasted 5 years. It is through his work at Castle Dental Center where he met his future wife, Clara, and this was in November 1991. Clara Suarez was born in Bogota in Colombia in 1957. Her father passed away when she was just 6 years old, so she was raised by her mother. Growing up, Colombia's economic gap motivated Clara to work hard. Everyone describes her as a bit of a perfectionist and just an overachiever. She didn't have a fancy house or car, but she believed that with hard work, she could achieve anything. Her father's dream of her success inspired her, so she decided to study dentistry. And, oh my gosh, Lockie, I did not know this. Apparently, dentistry is a really good profession for women because it offers flexible hours, especially if you're working like a boutique clinic, because you don't have to work nights and weekends. You just like to succeed. You just – obviously, you could do like 9 to 5 if you really wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, and still like within medicine.
Yes, exactly right. Clara studied in Colombia but moved to Texas in her 20s for a fellowship where she met David, and this was love at first sight for the both of them. David was smitten with Clara's intelligence and her beauty, especially after she won a beauty contest. She entered on a limb. Like she, it's not like she prepped for it. She just thought, you know what? I'm going to enter it. And she won. And this is Mrs. Columbia Houston. They married less than a year later on Valentine's Day in 1992 at a yacht club with their reception at the Nassau Bay Hilton. When they first met, David didn't have a close relationship with his young daughter, Lindsay, but Clara encouraged him to bond with her. She treated Lindsay as her own child, and Lindsay would spend the summer and Christmas holidays with the couple. In 1993, within a few years of Clara completing her residency at the University of Texas School of Dentistry, her dream of opening her own clinic came true. How amazing is that, Lockie?
Yeah, she's done so well.
Yes. David later opened his own practice, Space Center Orthodontics, and they began working at each other's practices. Soon they would go on to own 6 practices together, with Clara owning 51% due to her being an immigrant. Apparently it just is like better for tax purposes that she was majority owner.
like that was their agreement together.
Yes, and obviously they're a married couple, so they thought like, let's do this obviously for the benefits of tax.
Yeah.
Clara dreamed of being a mother, and after years of trying, twin sons Brian and Bradley were born in 1998. They were living the dream. They had a beautiful, spacious Houston home in a suburb. And can I just say, wait for what this is called? Friendswood. How cool does that sound?
It sounds like it's from a sitcom.
It does. It does. It sounds fake. But this is what their suburb was called. It was based in Texas, and they enjoyed an upscale lifestyle. They owned other properties, including a lake house, and Clara drove a Mercedes.
They were definitely living, like, above the average, you know, like they were almost, sure. like, yeah, very well-to-do.
Yeah, and I think they were worth, like, a few million as well.
Million, yeah, yep.
Clara was known for her dedication to both her family and her career, often hosting parties while also working hard. She just, you know, was one of those people that loved hosting. Clara thought she was living her perfect life until one day in July of 2002, when a colleague named Diana took her to lunch and told her, quote, "You have to protect your marriage," implying David was having an affair with his receptionist, Gail Bridges.
Like, you have to protect your marriage. Like, what does that even mean? Like,
I mean, the fact that Diana told her. Yeah, but I feel like Diana, like, obviously it's such an awkward topic to approach. Like, how do you even approach this?
Yeah.
With your boss. With your bosses. Yeah. They're both her bosses. So I feel like good on Diana for saying something, but at the same time, maybe she just didn't know. Like, that's just what came out, you know?
Yeah. Like, you almost think, like, why did you insert yourself? But then you also think, good on her for telling her, you know?
I think it's good like on for telling her. I'll tell you why after, but it's not like she had, like, a hunch. I think she made sure she was sure that something was going on before inserting herself into this. Yeah, exactly right. When Clara pushed for more information, Diana hinted at the affair but didn't provide many details, telling Clara to talk to David. So I think she's done the right thing.
Yeah.
Clara was caught off guard, and initially she was enraged because she thought Diana was just trying to ruin her marriage. And Clara had said, like, not one, like, she fully trusted David. Not once did she think that he would betray her. Like, never even, the thought never even entered her mind.
Yeah, so she got a bit defensive.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Looking back, David had been more distant in the past few months, and he wanted to spend more time alone. He had been paying more attention to his appearance. He had been working out, and he had lost a fair bit of weight. He had also been clocking more hours at the office, but that didn't set any alarm bells off for Clara because they were planning to open another practice.
Yeah.
And Clara and David had a 5-year plan to own all their practices debt-free. So Clara's just assumed that this is why he's working so hard, because they're working towards their goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, she did not believe it, but she decided to ask David the next morning if he loved her. Now, I've seen this reported a few different ways. One is that when she asked him, like, do you love me? He replied, I don't know. And the other thing I've read is he did reply yes, but there was a slight delay in his response, and he'd never sort of done that before.
Okay.
He ended up confessing to Clara that he was seeing Gail, but he claimed it was sort of like innocent. He said when she asked him, like, have you kissed or whatever, he said, oh, I've kissed like the inside of her hand. Like, what the fuck, Lucky?
So it was like an emotional affair. Is that what he was insinuating?
I think he said yes. And he said he described Gail as like a nice lady and that they had a lot in common. He said that, you know, they would talk a lot and she'd listen to him and, you know, she loved all his ideas and that sort of thing.
Okay.
He did insist that he didn't want a divorce and he would do anything to save their marriage. Clara told him to fire Gail, that he had to tell his parents and their pastor, and that they would need to attend marriage counseling if, you know, if this was going to work, like if they were going to work on their relationship.
And that's like a fair thing to ask. Like
100%.
That's a good solution. Yeah.
I think so as well. Obviously, and don't forget, at this stage, he's just told her that, like you said, it was more like an emotional affair, like nothing else had really happened, you know?
Yeah.
Now, and you know what? A lot of people, this next thing that happens, a lot of people are like, oh, my God, why the heck would you do this? But I think I understand why after hearing the interview. But Clara went downstairs to tell David's 16-year-old daughter, Lindsay, who was visiting from Ohio for the summer, about the situation. So she told his daughter, right?
Okay.
And the reason why she says she told her daughter is because Lindsay was working at the clinic and she was going to work with him that day. So obviously, like, this is going to – I mean, I don't know how big the clinic was, but this is definitely going to be some office gossip, you know. So she's just being open with her about what the heck's going on.
And she's 16 too. Like, she's not a child really. She's technically a child. She's, you know.
Exactly. So Lindsay informed Clara that she and everyone at the office knew about the affair. The last few months had been pretty uncomfortable for all of the staff.
It's pretty bad on David's part, hey?
100%. And this is why I think the fact that that lady was, I think her name was Diane, went and told her, like, she did the right thing. If everyone knows, everyone's talking about it, that's, she did the right thing by telling her.
Yeah.
So David and Gail had been careless about their affair. They were openly flirting and going out to lunch every day together. Lockie, listen to this, right? On one occasion, some papers had dropped on the floor, right? And Gail bent over from her hips in front of David to pick them up, pretty much like putting her ass in his face.
Oh, my God.
So I'm imagining like the bend and snap from Legally Blonde. Is that what you're – because that's what I'm picturing.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Lindsay was there. She did this in front of his daughter, and she was horrified.
Yeah, of course.
And so embarrassed. Like, what the fudge? Like, she was embarrassed about the whole situation. And I'm pretty sure that Lindsay actually spoke to one of, like, the other admin staff or the managers at the clinic just about, like, whether she, you know, someone could speak to her dad or whether she should tell Diane. Like, so obviously, sorry, whether she should tell Clara. So obviously everyone knows about this. Like, could you imagine how Clara felt?
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing.
It is. And the fact that Gail apparently would interrupt him while he was seeing patients and he'd become a little bit more like he wasn't paying as much attention to his patients. You could just tell he was distracted, right? She knew his way around. She knew her way around his car. She knew where his spare change was, his sunnies were. When people would get in the car, she'd jump in the front seat. He'd attend like she would attend meetings that she had no business in being in. So it's, you know, very obvious what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
Gail, a 38-year-old mother of three, was recently divorced. And apparently she got divorced because, the rumor is, she was having a secret relationship with one of her best friends, Julie. So this is why Gail's got a divorce, right? Clara filed Gail that day, then took David to a romantic piano bar that night. She believed she could save her marriage and make David happy. At the piano bar, she asked him, what does Gail have that I don't. And on a cocktail napkin, she made a comparison list, like general and physical things. Right?
It's horrendous.
And it is. And warning, this is about to make your freaking blood boil. Like, I can't explain to you how angry this made me, right? He says, so David says that Clara was too loud, but Gail had a soft voice like Marilyn Monroe. He said that she didn't communicate well, but Gail did. And Gail listened to him and went along with, like, what he wanted. She wasn't as negative. She wasn't as indecisive, you know. Like, so he's sort of, like, bagging her. And apparently, like, you know, when he'd call, because Clara was majority owner. So obviously they're making decisions for their businesses. And maybe, you know, she was taking longer, or maybe she was indecisive or whatever, whereas Gail told him, like, exactly what she thought. Like, what a stupid, I feel like that's a stupid thing to sort of,
yeah,
compare, because Gail's got no say in it. It's not her money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This in particular, are you ready for it? He told Clara that sex with Gail was like a fantasy. And they would have sex like 3 times a day. And can I tell you, I heard this interview, and apparently Gail had some sort of sex schedule. And she was like more sexually active. And she'd have sex at like, I don't even know what these times are, because I was like trying to figure out what the heck is this interview, right? It was like on an Oprah interview, which I might pop some of it up for our listeners on Instagram. But apparently it was like 9 p.m., 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. That was like her sex schedule.
Didn't you say in the beginning, like, it wasn't a big deal? Like, it wasn't like a.
Yes.
Like, the whole affair was a big deal, but they clearly were, like, intimate. It's like a physical affair.
Oh, 100%, right? Now, if you thought that was bad enough, it's about to get 10 times worse. He also told her, you're a larger person, too big. But Gail has zero fat and was petite. He told her that they fit together better when they were having sex and he could hold her comfortably all night. He told this to his wife.
Oh, my God. This guy's delusional.
I know. He also mentioned that Gail had bigger boobs. He did compliment Clara on her eyes, hands, and feet, though. He said they were a lot prettier than Gail's. Right? Now, most people like me and you would be mortified, but not Clara. She saw this as goals to work towards.
Oh.
I know. In the following days, Clara retired from work. She's literally called work and said, I'm never working again. I'm going to focus on my family. Like, they need me more than what work does, you know?
Yep.
She booked a personal trainer, got a membership to the gym, and a tanning salon membership. She dyed her hair blonde and got her hair and nails done daily. She also had a consultation and put down a $5,000 deposit for liposuction and a boob job she had booked for that August.
My God, this is sad.
I know. She made his favorite meals every day and bought the sexiest clothes she could find from, like, Victoria's Secret, you know, whatever she could find that was sexy. She bought it and started having sex with David multiple times a night. I think she says that she wanted to, like, double it, or she wanted to beat it, you know? She wanted him to be happy. How sad is that?
It's very sad because he sounds like an asshole.
Yes, and she's doing everything in her power to make sure her marriage survives this.
Yeah.
Another thing she did was hire Blue Moon, which is like a PI company, and this is the same PI company that Gail's husband had used when he was trying to catch Gail having that affair with her friend. Now, I've read a few things about why Clara hired them. One was because she thought Gail was a lesbian and just after David for his money. So she was hoping to get evidence to show this to David, like, you know, that it's not love. She's just after your cash, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other reports claim that she was protecting herself because apparently, I did not know this is a thing, right? But in Texas, if you can prove your spouse is cheating, you get majority of the assets. Is that nuts? Yeah, I thought so too. So, you know, other reports are saying that she was sort of gathering evidence against David just in case they were going to go through a divorce. David had told Clara he needed closure and wanted to break ties with Gail in person. Clara agreed, telling him to go to a restaurant. Originally, she had planned to sit in the car park and told him, quote, as long as I can see your cars, you can talk to her as long as you like.
Yeah.
But at the last minute, she decided against this. I think, again, in this interview I heard, she says she decided against it because Lindsay was going to come and sit with her and she just thought it was a bad idea. You know, bringing Lindsay there, she knew she was going to be a mess. So she's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Instead, she'd hired the PI to listen in and follow David to make sure he was breaking it off.
Yeah.
So the date was set for Wednesday, July 24th, 2002. And not only had Clara paid for the PI to follow David from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., but she also had some spies at work because obviously everyone at work knows about what the heck's going on, right? Now, I don't know if they actually followed David out of the office, but she was informed by one of the staff members that afternoon that David had not gone to the restaurant, but they weren't sure where the heck he had gone, but he hadn't. I mean, I don't know if he turned left and he was meant to turn right or something along those lines, but they told her, hey, I don't think he's gone to the restaurant, right? Desperate to find him, Lindsay and Clara drove around looking for him. They went to Gail's. And I thought this was crazy, right? Believe it or not, they got Gail's address because the girls from work had followed them back to her home one night. So, and this is what I mean. Like, obviously, this is office gossip, but they've made sure this is all going down. Like, what they're thinking, it's not just gossip. It's actually happened before they went and told Clara about the affair, you know? So that's what I was saying before. Yeah. I think that they did do the right thing, even though, I mean, this is a little bit stalkerish. Anyway, so Gail and Lindsay also went to the restaurant. No luck. They could not find David anywhere, right? But at some stage, they received a call from the PI with an update. Gail and David had gone to the Hilton. Apparently, this was their favorite place to get it on. Oh, and Lockie, this is the same Hilton where David and Clara had celebrated their wedding 10 years earlier.
That's sick.
I know. It really is, isn't it? Like, how many other freaking hotels would there be in this area? So many others. It's sad. The PI told them they would send her a report the following day, but Clara just could not resist. Like, she just couldn't wait, right? And she went straight there. When her and Lindsay spotted Gail's car in the parking lot, Clara got out and vandalized it. She scratched it with her keys and ripped off the windscreen wipers. Apparently, this is like quite hard to do. Like, you need to be pretty strong to do this. So she must have just had like a lot of, what's it called? Like pumping through a, you know, through a
adrenaline,
vein.
Yeah.
Adrenaline, yeah. So they walked into, Clara and Lindsay walked into the Hilton attempting to find the room David and Gail were in, but they were unsuccessful. Obviously, the hotel staff weren't buying whatever story they were spinning. Like, they're not going to just give away what room someone's staying at. Mm-hmm. Instead, Lindsay called David and told him that one of the twins was really sick and that he needed to get home urgently. And this was pretty believable because one of the boys actually suffered from, I think it was like severe asthma.
Yeah.
Sure enough, not too long later, David and Gail entered the lobby holding hands. Clara lost her shit, lunging at Gail, screaming, quote, you bitch, he's my husband. She slapped her and tore her shirt off. I think they're like wrestling on the floor. You know, everyone's trying to pull them off. One of the things as well I heard that she had screamed was, "This is Dr. Harris, and he's fucking this woman right here." Apparently, just like losing her mind. At the same time, Lindsay was hitting her dad, David, with her purse, yelling, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." Like, this is just so bad.
Yeah, it is.
The hotel staff called the police, and Clara and Lindsay were escorted back by hotel staff to Clara's Mercedes. As David and Gail walked to Gail's car, Clara, behind the wheel, full of rage, floored the gas pedal and sped towards them. David didn't have enough time to move, so the car hit him and sent him flying 25 feet across the parking lot. Witnesses say Clara then spun the car around, hit the gas again, and drove over her husband's body a second time.
Wow.
She then made another 180 degree turn and ran over him a third time. When Clara finally stopped the car, she got out, looked around, and walked towards David's lifeless body. She held him in her arms, begging him to breathe, saying, "I'm sorry," over and over. There are also reports that she said, "David, I'm so sorry. Look what you made me do."
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah. David died at the scene, and Clara was taken to the police station. Savage lucky. And Clara was taken to the police station. There's a video showing her devastated state. Like, I think she was obviously in shock as well. Like, it must have just all happened, you know, so quickly. Now, yeah. She claimed she didn't mean to kill David, but wanted to wreck Gail's car. This is because David was standing right by Gail's car, right? And she says that she just did not want David to go back home with Gail, or like she didn't want them to leave together. So when she saw them walking towards the car, she thought, if I can wreck the car, that he's not going to be able to leave with her.
Yeah.
Clara was charged with murder. Interestingly, the PI Clara had hired caught some of this on camera, right? And the video I will post it on our Insta. All you can really see, though, is a car sort of going in circles from far away, and it's not very clear. You can sort of see some bumps. Now, she says that it was the gutter, but obviously others think that it was while she was going over David. Keep in mind, I'm going to go into a bit, because Lindsay did testify at trial. She was in the car when this was happening. So I think, if anything, Lindsay is the biggest victim of this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was in the car, and like obviously she was upset at her dad, and she loved Clara like a mother. But this is just horrific. Like, how you would cope with this is just, it would be impossible, you know?
Yeah.
Now, Clara stuck to that story at her trial in February of 2003, claiming she didn't know that she had hit David. However, Lindsay testified that Clara had told her, quote, "With all he's done to me, I could kill him and get away with it." I think that was earlier in the day, though. With
it's
that
pretty
quote,
clear, like, that she did see him.
Yeah. I mean, I think she just, maybe in her mind, she just can't accept it, you know, that she did do it on purpose. I think she did go, it was towards the car. So I do get it. If that's, maybe that was in her mind, and last minute she like hit him, because she says she didn't even realize that she had originally hit him. But Lindsay also says that Clara stepped on the accelerator. This is quote, "stepped on the accelerator and went straight for him, saying moments before impact, I'm going to kill him, to hit him." Sorry. That's what she said. But Clara does not deny saying this. She says that what she remembers is, She did say that, but she was talking about one of the hotel staff who had sort of gotten in the way of the car. So there was other people like out and about in this area. And I think that one of the hotel staff at some stage was obviously sort of like in front of her. I don't know. I mean, I mean, obviously Lindsay was in the car, so she'd know what the heck went down. And Clara, I think that maybe she's like, it's her way of coping because it's not something she planned. She must have just lost her shit, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, there was a little back and forth regarding whether she hit David intentionally and also more than once. Because remember, I did say that she had gone over him maybe like up to three times, and there were a lot of witnesses that claimed that she did run over him between three and five times, but there was only one set of tire prints on David, and it sounds horrible.
But, like, would there be multiple tire prints? You know what I mean? Like,
gone over him more than once. Hit? Oh, and then he had, oh, yeah. You know what, though? Potentially he could have got hit once, flew, and then got run over. So that would make sense that if there was only one set on him. But up to five times, I think you'd be able to see more than, and the injuries would show, which actually I think that maybe, I don't have it in my notes, but I think that the doctor said that the injuries show that he was hit more than once as well. But it's just the tire prints. But like you said, maybe he wasn't run over. You know what I mean? Like more than once, but he was hit more than once, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yet, yeah, it is hard to sort of, she thinks that it was the gutter that she was going over. And she does explain it, as I said, in more than one interview. I'll see what I can find to pop up online. But the interview with Oprah is really interesting. So if anyone's out there and is interested in this case, I would hop onto YouTube. I actually think there's a podcast on it as well, with this episode. So yeah, I'd listen to that. Now, surprisingly, David's parents stood by Clara, saying that she was like a daughter, that she was like the daughter that they never had, and that they loved her very much and forgave her.
See, I feel like that speaks volumes.
It does. It does. Obviously, Lindsay and Clara have no relationship. Lindsay, if anything, is still like, does not think she deserves any sympathy. And I get it, because she was in the car when all this went down. It was her dad. It's something she's not only altered, you know, like her own life, but Lindsay, as I said earlier, is a massive victim. This is something she's had to live with, had to relive. It's different if she wasn't in the car, but the fact that she was in the car when this happened, and she says she was screaming at her to stop, you know, and she didn't, like, I can't even imagine what she has had to go through.
Yeah, exactly.
So Clara was convicted on Valentine's Day in 2003, which, if you remember, that would have been their anniversary. Isn't it weird how the world works?
Yeah, that's crazy. It's
freaking weird, right? The jurors believed that Clara had acted under, quote, sudden passion. I think that's like one of the things that they could have, you know, like when you're, I don't know if it's when you're sentencing or whatever, but it wasn't like murder, it was sudden passion rather than.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was just like an emotion that completely took over her body.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's what I think.
And they did give her the maximum 20-year sentence. This is for this sudden passion, because it could have been as low as two. Could have been anywhere between 2 and 20 years. So they gave her the max. But obviously, if it was murder, I think it could have been to life, you know. So she did get the max. In 2007, David's parents did sue Clara for wrongful death, and she was ordered to pay them $3.7 million in damages. I'm guessing they obviously didn't say in, I mean, I don't know what their relationship is. I know now that she's out, she's not allowed to have any contact with his family, with Lindsay, with Gail or anything like that. But I did find it interesting that they stuck with her, you know, through the trial. But obviously years later, I think David was expected to look after them in their own old age. So they've obviously sued her for damages because they don't have that anymore, because obviously he died.
Yeah, it could just be a technicality to get some of the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fair, you know.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. The twins went on to live with a couple that that David and Clara were very close with, like their friends. And they also had twin boys at the same age. How crazy would that house have been? Two sets of twins. So four boys.
I was going to say, it's so good to take on someone else's kids like that.
I know, isn't it? Mm. It really is. And especially two, my goodness. And they were young at the time. From memory, I think they were three. Pretty sure they're three-ish when this happened. I think in the interview she did with Oprah, that was six. This is literally going off my memory, so hopefully I don't have that wrong. But anyway, they kept in close contact with their mother and visited her every month. I think she was held quite far away, like in prison. So, and again, that's huge for the family to take the boys up there every month to see Clara. Like, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Clara was an exceptional prisoner. She learned Braille, right? Like, she did a Braille course while she was in prison and translated textbooks as part of a program. She was just focused on getting parole to reunite with her sons and followed all the prison rules. Despite being eligible for parole in 2012, she was turned down four times. And this is believed to be because, like, the courts were receiving, like, objections from David's family, you know, that she doesn't deserve sympathy in that. However, in 2017, her new attorney brought her sons to the parole hearing, emphasizing that they needed their mother. And I think they obviously took the stand and said, you know, that they forgive their mother, they love their mother, and they had lost both parents, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
This led to her parole being granted in November, and she was released in May of 2018 and completed her parole, because obviously she was on parole after that, in February 2023, so just last year.
Wow, so she's just out living her life.
Yes, and you know what? She was so good at transcribing this Braille that whoever she was doing it for, like the company she was doing it for while she was locked up, they actually like held on to her as an employee. Like they hired her when she left.
Yeah, that's great.
Isn't it? And now she literally, like I've seen a few things, like she just doesn't really want to be, I think obviously she's paranoid about people recognizing her and things like that. She just lives a quiet life and she just doesn't want any attention. She just wants to sort of, you know, be with her boys. That's it. Just a mother to her boys.
So question, do you think if this was a reverse situation, it was a male hitting a woman with his car, do you think he would have got the same treatment? Do you reckon he would have done all of that time in prison?
It's funny because I was actually going to look this up before we started recording and I completely forgot. But what's that guy in Australia? His name Boris or something? I think it's 7 years. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember that lady that was found in Mount Macedon?
Her name was Karen Rostevsky.
Yeah.
And the husband was, yeah, it starts with B for sure.
Yeah. Well, how long did he get? I feel like he did not get that long. In jail. I was actually thinking this because I don't know where I've seen this, but I've seen I don't actually know, but I feel like
I feel like she, sorry to cut you off, feel like she clearly did kill him and there's a consequence for that, but he drove 100%. Her to those emotions and it was a completely emotional release. I feel like she had put so much time and energy into making the marriage work. And then when she saw them, it just ticked something in her body. And it was just this release of anger and emotion. And that's what happens when men kill women. Like it's this, you know, release of emotion. And I feel like they just made her out to be crazy. Like there was no motive to kill him, I don't think.
I don't think so either. I just think exactly, you know, and as I said, listening to interviews, I do feel very sorry for her. And the fact she did do, she did spend, do you know what I mean? Like, she served her time and she's not a threat to society. That I feel like that's the difference. Like, you know, some men, it sounds like bad, but even if they've lost their temper, they are a threat to society, to their next partner or whatever it is. I don't think she is.
No. Agree.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, there's a lot of people online that are like completely on her side and can see how she literally gave it her all to, gave everything to her marriage. And then he sort of just threw it back in her face and she just snapped. Hence that, that, what's it called? That TV show. That's where I got this from. But yeah, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, if the, a lot of other people, like, yeah, exactly, if the roles were reversed, would they get as much time? Would they get less? Would they get more? Nowadays, they'd probably get more. Like, you'd hope they'd get more, but I don't know. I feel bad, but I do feel bad for Clara. And it's, I see how this may have happened. Like, I don't agree with it. And I do think she needed to spend time in jail. She obviously needs to pay for what she's done, but I sympathize with her a little as well.
Yeah.
But I can see how Lindsay never could never forgive her. I get that as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
But that is today's case.
If you have a case you want us to cover, you can send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at Caffeine Crime and Canines, or you can head to our website and leave a request in the request box. If you want to support the podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review. You can head to our website to purchase some merchandise, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/caffeinecrimecanines.
And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.